I'm continuing with the story of Christmas. And this episode is called An Era of Peace. A prophet called Micah made an amazing prophecy that foretold the birthplace of Jesus over 700 years before Jesus was born. This verse also tells us that he would be our peace. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 it says, O Bethlehem, you are but a small Judean village, yet you will be the birthplace of my King, who is alive from everlasting ages past. God will allow the conflict and disorder to remain until she who is to give birth has her son, and he shall feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, and he will be greatly honoured throughout the world. He will be our peace. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph had to bring Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated. The prescribed time for dedication and purification was 40 days according to Jewish law. A man named Simeon was also in the temple, the Holy Spirit having prompted him to go to the temple that day. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen Jesus, God's anointed King, which was Simeon's lifelong prayer, forever waiting and expecting the Messiah to come soon. And so when Mary and Joseph arrived to present the baby Jesus to the Lord in obedience to the law, the Spirit bore witness to Simeon that his prayer had been answered, and he greeted them, taking the child in his arms, and he began praising God. Lord, he said, I've seen him as you promised me I would. I've seen the Saviour you have given to the world. He is the light that will shine upon the nations, and he will be the glory of your people Israel. Now I can die in peace. That's in Luke chapter 2, verse 29. On that day, this prophetic man, Simeon, took his place in entering the era of peace that had come upon all of humanity. Joseph and Mary just stood there, marvelling at what was being said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them all and said to Mary about their son, Jesus, This one is assigned for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and as a sign that will be opposed and denied by multitudes in all the earth, so that the thoughts of their hearts might be revealed. This momentous prophecy declares Jesus as the one who stands at the centre of the scales of every life. This challenges us to either respond to or reject the truth of his virgin birth, his life, death, and resurrection. This truth is the challenge that provokes opposition and denial in the human heart, where all of our inner conflicts between light and darkness are deliberated and judged, bringing every human heart into account. Jesus now stands in the middle of every decision we make to give us his wisdom and truth. And this is ours if we let him into our heart. And it is on offer for all of mankind. But who wants it? A woman named Anna was also there in the temple that day, a prophetess of the Jewish tribe of Asher. She was 84 years old. She lived a cloistered life in the temple, dwelling there night and day, worshipping God in prayer and often in fasting. She came along, just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. And the Spirit also bore witness to her that this was the promised Saviour and that the Messiah had finally arrived. She began thanking God and proclaiming this truth to everyone in Jerusalem. She too had now entered that era of peace that had come upon the world. The word for peace in the Bible is eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E. That Greek word actually means oneness, which in its fullest sense means oneness and harmony with God. That is why we say, He is our peace. Meanwhile, a group of highly esteemed wise men called Magi set out from Babylon in the east. Babylon was the first civilization in the east to to study and interpret the movement of the stars and planets as far back as 700 BC. Planets in those times were also referred to as stars and sometimes as wandering stars. There were many such magi, astrologers and astronomers who served the kings of Babylon. These men also knew the writings of the Jewish scrolls and would have had knowledge of the prophecies concerning the Messiah and the predicted whereabouts of his birth. This was because of the influence of the Jewish religion during the 70 years internment of Israel in Babylon, where there was a cross-assimilation of both cultures, and the impact of such an inspirational prophetic hero as Daniel. They would have also studied any unusual or momentous activity of a night star in the heavens, as this was often interpreted by astrologers to be the sign of the birth of a great ruler. These wise men would have been observing the charts of the heavens and calculated the timing of a convergence of two great planets that would have shone as an exceedingly bright star for some weeks in the eastern night sky, and which would have shone at its brightest as that great light that shone at the birth of Jesus. They had followed this great light to the region of the special birth and had been asking questions around Jerusalem. They were asking about the birth of the new king of Israel and his whereabouts, and their presence in the city and the line of questioning and discussion they were having with the local people came to the ears of the local ruler, Herod. Herod had been appointed by Caesar Augustus to oversee several local regions, including the region of Jerusalem. Herod was a local tribal king who acted as an intermediary to Caesar, and he worked with the proconsuls and the military leadership. He had become extremely agitated about the news of this supposed special child whose birth had been predicted, and he was threatened by it. He heard that Israel had a record in their scriptures of such an event heralding the birth of a Messiah or a new king to rule over them. It was rumoured that this special child would begin a new kingdom in the earth, and Herod did not quite know what this meant, but he didn't want that sort of competition. He had his own dynasty to create. Driven by his urgency to know all that he could about this child, he called for a conference with the priests and leaders and pressed them concerning the predicted time and place of this special birth. Certain scribes and teachers knew from the scriptures the Bethlehem region of the child's birth, as we first read in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and that a great star would appear at that time. Armed with this knowledge, Herod secretly summons the wise men to his palace and told them the whereabouts of the region where they might find news of the child. He asked them to come back and inform him of the child's exact location, telling them that he too wanted to worship this new king. Afterwards, he congratulated himself. They were no match for his cunning and had promised to report back to him. All he needed to know was where to send his garrison of soldiers, so that the child could be killed. After their meeting with Herod, the wise men followed the star, which remained bright in the sky, and were guided to the house where Joseph and Mary and the child Jesus were still staying. When the men were invited to see the child, they went down on their knees and worshipped him. They then presented him with gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These peculiar gifts have a spiritual message for us today who understand what it means to live a life shared with God. Gold speaks to us of the nature of God on display in a human life. Frankincense speaks to us of sweet prayer ascending from a true heart. Myrrh speaks to us of accepting the necessary reality of suffering and its meaning for our life, because without that, there is no spiritual growth. That same night, Gabriel gave a message to the wise men in a dream, warning them not to report back to Herod, So the men departed and returned to their homeland another way. After their departure, the angel also appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt and to stay there until he brought further word. He warned him that Herod was seeking the young child to destroy him. So Joseph took Mary and the young child and departed for Egypt that night. Then Herod, when he realized that he had been outmaneuvered by the wise men, became infuriated, and he commanded a garrison of soldiers to go out and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its surrounding districts, from 2 years old and under. This tragic event was prophesied by Jeremiah. It goes like this. In Ramah, a voice of weeping was heard, and lamentation and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, unable to be comforted because of her loss. It's in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, and also in Matthew chapter 2. Herod died soon after this, and Gabriel spoke to Joseph in another dream that it was now safe to leave Egypt, fulfilling another prophecy, which was spoken through the prophet Hosea. Out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea chapter 11. However, when Joseph learned that the son of Herod, who now ruled in his father's place, was as treacherous and murderous as his father, he was afraid to go back to the area. But Gabriel appeared to Joseph again in a dream and told him to go to a quiet lakeside village in Galilee where they would be safe. So they came and settled in a city called Nazareth. And yet another prophecy was fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. It's in Matthew chapter 2, 23. They settled there as a family for many years, where Jesus grew from a child into an adult. During this growing up time in the life of Jesus, there is an account of one special incident when Jesus was 12 years old. His parents took him to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, which they did every year. The feast was always very crowded and lasted for 7 full days, and there was a lot of activity and celebration of Israel's exodus out of Egypt. And they travelled to and from the feast in a caravan of hundreds of people, pitching tents and camping on the journey from their homes. When they were on the journey home, and one day out from Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph noticed that they had not seen Jesus for the whole day, and they supposed that he was mingling with relatives and friends in the crowd. But when they asked around, it was clear that he was not with the caravan. And when they couldn't find him, they went back into Jerusalem to search for him. It was only after 3 days of searching and making inquiries that they finally found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers of the law, discussing deep questions with them and astounding everyone with the depth of his questions and the wisdom of his answers. However, his parents were perplexed, not knowing what to think, and his mother asked him in her distress why he had done that to them. Mary told him that she and his father had been frantic, searching for him everywhere. Jesus asked them why they felt they had to search for him and why they didn't realize that he would be here in his father's house sharing in his father's work. But they didn't understand what he meant. He could have appeared to be in subordination, which was puzzling and very uncharacteristic of him to not respect his sonship in their family. But Jesus had not betrayed his sonship. In fact, he had no intention of dishonoring either of his sonships, either to his earthly family or to his heavenly Father. Here, however, in the encounter with his distressed parents, this maturing child was wisely coming to grips with the complexity of the relationship between his identity as Son of God and as a son in the family of Joseph. He did this for us and for our sakes too, as with everything else he did for us, knowing that we would grapple with this earthly and heavenly fatherhood quandary in our own lives, and would graciously come to be made whole in God the Father's unconditional love. So he went home with them and was subject to them. Jesus continued to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God, and was admired and respected by all the people in that place. Through the birth of this child, divine life had been embedded into human life. This had never happened before. This new form of life, God and man together, a new creation. Because of this new creation, a new connection between man and God would be possible. Through what this man would accomplish in his short journey in the earth, the bond of oneness, that is peace, which he would experience with his heavenly Father, would become available to all of us to grow and mature together as sons and daughters in his family. So we give thanks for that mighty gift, a gift of a life through the person of Jesus Christ. Now ours to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.